Yo, what's up, everyone? G Money Stacks here. You may remember me from shows like Off the Meat Rat Chains, New York Avenue Podcast, Excellent Fun Vibrant Talks Podcast, Sports Edition Show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast Review Show. I'm here to talk to you at home about Spotify for Podcasters. Why are you wasting and struggling with your money on a hosting site to promote your show with limited storages? Forget about it. Let's break this down. If you are a current Anchor user, don't worry about the changes. Everything will be the same with added new features. Spotify for Podcasters, formerly known as Anchor, is a free hosting site and phone app that gives you old and new creation tools, also provides free hosting with access to record, upload videos from podcast episodes, edit, add music to your show, monetize, Q&A questions, polls, distribute your podcast on streaming platforms, tracking analytics, plus the show's growth audience from international places, Canada, USA, international, including Long Island and the five boroughs of New York, and much more. You can get money from sponsorship with no minimum listenership. Spotify for Podcasters also offers hosting and a way to upload podcast videos to attract listeners. Also keep track of the number of streams. These are the important keys to making a podcast. If you like to create a podcast and be a guest co-host like myself, you can download the free Spotify for Podcasters app on your iPhones, Android phones, iPads, Android tablets, Apple Mac, and Dell laptops with Windows, or check out the website for more information to get a head start on your podcast journey at www.podcasters.spotify.com. If I can reach success, so can you. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. I'm G Money Stacks, aka The Gregonator. Thank you for listening to me and the podcast. Let's go. Hey, what's up, USA, International, Canada, Long Island, aka Strong Island, plus the five spots of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. This is your man, G Money Stacks, aka The Gregonator, YouTuber, host of the most misunderstood lonely nomad, man who holds the back doors of the Q5 and N24 buses, and unstoppable independent podcaster and Queens, New York native of Laurelton, Queens, New York. And you are rocking with the 315th episode with me of Off the Meat Rat Chains, New York Avenue Podcast, a comedy space based on wild, crazy, fun topics, based on entertainment news, music news, including hip-hop, a little bit of transit, a little bit of everything in between. And yes, If you are new to YouTube channel universe and you miss any previous episodes whatsoever, please feel free to go ahead and grab that subscribe button for me on the YouTube channel page of G-Money Stacks 555 for more live podcast episodes. And of course, of course, leave a like and a comment along with the topics. Of course, stay tuned for more video content, including upcoming episodes, previous episodes, and be sure to listen, stream, and watch these episodes. And you can download not only your favorite episodes, but you can add the podcast to your favorite playlists like Spotify and all the other streaming platforms wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So yeah. And of course, grab alerts while you're at it too. So that way you'll be able to know when each podcast episode recording is going to start, which includes the date, the day, the time, and the month. And that way you'll be able to know when each episode is going to be uploaded and posted to the YouTube channel page. And also I want to say yes. Tell a friend to another friend. And of course, you can share the videos, share the episodes. And of course, we are live and direct from StreamYard alongside with YouTube. And aside myself, it's the Instagram live feed. Be sure to turn your notifications so you can be notified on when I'll be on Instagram live recording podcast episodes. All right. So what do you say we go to a little bit of mental health check? No, not mental health checking, but a little bit of the New York Mass Transit Files. Before I begin the segment right here in transit news, I do apologize for not recording yesterday. I was dealing with a major migraine that was pounding in my head. So, that's why, for anyone that was trying to reach me, I was not in good shape yesterday to be talking with anybody at the moment because of my headache. So, you know what I mean? So I'm getting a little better right now. So hopefully the caffeine and stuff helps me. So yeah, there you have it right there. Okay, well, let's start with what happened in Queens. Another incident, another shoving. And this is from QNS.com. Yeah. Okay, so police from the 1110 precinct in Elmhurst and Transit District 20 are looking for a suspect who attempted to rob a woman inside an R-Train subway station before a Good Samaritan intervened on Sunday morning. Police say the 47-year-old victim was waiting on the southbound platform at the Elmhurst Avenue Broadway station just after 11 a.m. on November 5th, when she was approached by a stranger who shoved her, causing her to fall to the platform. As he was trying to take her purse from her shoulder, the bystander pushed him away from the woman, police said. When is this shit gonna stop? When is this shit gonna stop, man? Seriously. When is this gonna stop? Like, this has been going on all year long. All year long throughout 2023. And you wonder why. And you wonder why subway stations aren't that safe like that. And that, to me, is just beyond crazy. So yeah. Okay, where were we? Okay, wait for it. So the suspect ran from the scene empty-handed, according to authorities. The victim was not injured during the incident. A reward of up to $3,500 is being offered for information that leads to his arrest. Anyone with information is asked to call the NYPD's Crime Stoppers hotline at 800-577-TIPS. The 110th precinct has reported 386 robberies so far in 2023, 48 fewer than the 338 reported at the same point last year, a decline of 14.2% according to the most recent CompStat report. Yeah. Okay, okay, next, the MTA's subway tech cars. All right, so, all right, let's get into it right here. The MTA's rollout of its multi-billion-dollar fleet of new subway cars has gone off track. The agency confirmed this week it was pulling six of the seven Bollywood R211 rail cars out of service due to equipment problems, just months after the high-tech trains were unveiled. The shiny new subway cars, which featured wider doors, security cameras, and digital displays, had issues including leaky gearboxes that can cause a train's wheels to lock up and drag along the rails. A video posted online shows one of the new trains apparently affected by the mechanical issue, loudly clanging its way through the North Strand Avenue station on October 21st. During routine operations of R211 subway cars in service, New York City Transit crews discovered a faulty gearbox in some of the cars, an MTA spokesperson said in an email. As is the case whenever we identify an issue with a particular subway car model, we have temporarily removed the affected trains from service until further testing is complete. The R211s have been gradually phased into service since March, starting with the A line. To avoid service disruption, the MTA said it will be putting older model trains temporarily back into operation as they investigate the source of the issue. The new trains are still underway, however, and officials expressed optimism they'd be able to resolve the problem within a few weeks. The MTA's planned $6 billion investment in new rail cars is part of its ongoing $55 billion repair and modernization overhaul. At the time of the R211's unveiling, MTA Chair and CEO Jana Lieber said the new trains would provide strap hangers with a more modern passenger experience. The initial order, the MTA's first major subway car purchase in 5 years, was awarded to manufacturer Kawasaki in 2018 and included 535 of the state-of-the-art R211s. Last October, the MTA board approved the purchase of an additional batch of 640 cars. The price tag for the first two orders is estimated to be around $3.2 billion. Canadian manufacturer Bombardier, which built the mechanical issue plague R-179s, was disqualified from bidding on the R-211 project due to numerous delivery delays and a series of costly and dangerous malfunctions. Bombardier's disqualification, as well as federal regulations that require the MTA to only purchase trains made in America, made Kawasaki securing the contract something of a foregone conclusion, as they are the only two manufacturers in the U.S. But the Kawasaki contract has been beset by issues of its own, with multiple delays resulting in the first R211s arriving more than a year behind schedule. Okay. Hold on. Now, I know everybody's been hearing about the budget cuts as far as the libraries and everything else, but Cardi B goes in on Eric Adams. So this is part of chatting all the jazz. All right, so let's get into it right here. All right, so Cardi B goes in on Eric Adams. So superstar rapper Cardi B has reportedly gone after Mayor Eric Adams for announcing a set of severe budget cuts last week, saying that crimes are going to go through the roof because of his zoner's plan to chop the NYPD budget, among other things. The 5% cuts, which will kneecap departments throughout the Big Apple, are the first of three rounds Adams has ordered to compensate for the billions of dollars the city has spent taking care of asylum seekers who have flooded New York. Wait, there's more. There's more. But the Bronx-born Grammy-winning artist didn't seem to care. But the Bronx-born Grammy-winning artist didn't seem to care about, didn't seem to care what the reason was in a live stream video reposted on social media, according to the Daily Mail. What's going to happen to my nieces? What's going to happen to my nephews? What's going to happen to my cousins, my aunts, my friends? That's living in the hood, Cardi B asked. I'm from the Bronx. I don't want to see shit. I don't want to see my shit affected. Everybody be like, New York is dirty, and it is dirty, the rapper continued, and we're going to get even dirtier with the fucking budget cut. Crimes are going through the roof because there's a police safety budget cut, she said, referencing Adams' cancellation of the next five police academy classes, which threatens to push New York's finest to its lowest manpower level in three decades. And on top of that, there's a sanitation fucking budget cut. So that means we're gonna be drowning in rats, the rapper added. Few city departments will emerge unscathed after Adams' axe falls. He plans to slash $32 million from the city's sanitation department, as well as $74 million from the FDNY and $547 million from the Department of Education. Jeez, man. Jeez, man. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy and insane. His owner is also getting rid of a number of street garbage cans in the outer boroughs, while 34 popular cultural institutions, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art and Museum of Natural History, will see their funding cut as the city's cultural institutions group budget will be chopped by nearly $6 million. Jeez. Migrant costs will also be sliced by a fifth, in part by letting go of staff and cutting services. There will also be hiring freezes at the law department, education department, aging department, health department, and parks department, among others, to balance the budget, as the law requires. Every city agency dug into their own budget to find savings with minimal disruption to services, the mayor said in a statement. And while we pulled it off this time, make no mistake, migrant costs are going up, tax revenue growth is slowing, and COVID stimulus funding is drying up. Regardless, Adams' plan has been a pillow ride by the by people like Patrick Hendry, president of the Police Benevolent Association. This is truly a disaster for every New Yorker who cares about safe streets, he told the Post last week. Cops are already stretched to our breaking point, and these cuts will return us to staffing levels we haven't seen since the crime epidemic of the 80s and 90s. We cannot go back there. In a video, Cardi B also lashed out at the federal government, berating President Biden for funding foreign wars like in Ukraine and Israel while New York is struggling. How is there $100 million budget cut in New York City for fucking schools, libraries, public safety, and sanitation? Yet Joe Biden is talking about, yeah, we can fund two wars, she said. We can't fund these wars. We can barely fucking fund this country. Yeah, she's right about a couple of things. She's right about a couple of things. I actually agree. And, you know, part of being a mayor of New York City is you're going to have tough decisions to make. You're not going to make everybody happy no matter what decisions you make. And for the most part, yeah, the library cuts and stuff was wrong, but you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I mean, you're dealing with a bunch of migrants, no thanks to fucking Greg Abbott, who didn't want to keep them in Texas, which is fucked up. But I digress, man. I fucking digress, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's get into, I'm pretty sure y'all heard of bagels, right? This is dedicated to National Bagel Day. All right, so National Bagel Day is January 15th. Bagels have a history that is richer than your favorite cream cheese spread. These rounds of dough can be found just about anywhere. Breakfast joints, coffee shops, supermarkets, or even your kitchen pantry. In fact, 2018 saw more than 354 million bagels sold. So the history of National Bagel Day. Bagels have a long and highly documented history that the hell is this? What the hell is this? Yeah, so bagels have a long and highly documented history that travels from the Jewish families of Portland in the 1600s to wrapped up in parchment paper in your hands today. And unlike many things created nearly 500 years ago, bagels are remarkably unchanged. Sure, cream cheeses and butters and flavors and toppings may have evolved over time, but bagel is a bagel is a bagel. Bagels made the jump to America with a massive Polish Jewish immigration in the 1800s that firmly entrenched itself in New York City, where it thrived. In fact, an entire union was created in the early 1900s called Bagel Bakers, Local 338, to support the growing immigrant-led industry that also begot the Bagel Bunch, that we still enjoy to this day, with little to no changes: lox, cream cheese, capers, tomatoes, and red onions. While bagels were hugely popular in New York City almost immediately, they didn't make their way to the national scale until the mid-20th century, where automation and bread slicing. The coolest thing made mass manufacturing much more efficient. Since then, bagels have taken off to include a variety of flours, toppings, dips, and smears, but still remain by the and large exactly as they were in the 1600s. All right, so the timeline. 1300s, first bagel appears. The beginnings of the modern bagel can be traced to the Polish obwarzenik, a thin boiled and then baked ring of dough. 1610, new bagel. The first known written records about bagels appeared in Krakow, Portland, which dictated that bagels should be gifted to women soon after childbirth. Early 1900s, New York icon. Over this century, the popularity of bagels spread through the growing Eastern European and Jewish immigrant communities in New York City. 1950s, bagels become an American staple. Bagels are sold in supermarkets across the nation and surpass the donut as an essential breakfast item. Okay, traditions of National Bagel Day. Eat a bagel, pretty easy. Head to your local bakery and take a big old bite into a yummy, warm, crispy, doughy bagel with your favorite toppings. Bake a bagel. Surprisingly simple and rather enjoyable. There's nothing that tastes or smells better than freshly baked bagels straight out of the oven. A great activity for you and your loved ones. Give a bagel, considering that the initial written context of bagels came as a traditional gift for pregnant women. This will go great at any maternity ward, or just give it to someone you know who lives bagels. One moment. National Bagel Day stats. 54% like them fresh of Americans eat fresh bagels. While it may be convenient to stock up on store-bought, it's clear that we have a preferred palate for freshly baked bagels. 77% make them a meal of bagels are eaten as the main dish for whichever meal that may be. These hearty rings of fresh dough are sustainable enough to 75% like them toasty. Of bagel eaters prefer theirs warmed up and will gladly buy a fresh hot one over anything cold, with nearly 90% of users putting cream cheese, butter, or some kind of topping on it. It's clear that the contrast between hot and cold is the desired method of bagel consumption. Okay, so National Bagel Day activities. Have a bagel at every meal. Take this day as an opportunity to appreciate the versatility of the bagel, and feel free to use it as an excuse to try as many flavors as you would like. Share the bagel love. What office, classroom, or group of friends doesn't love bagels? Scope out your local bagel shops for exclusive National Bagel Day deals and spring for a dozen delicious bagels to share. Find the best bagel in town. Everyone has their favorite bagel place, so maybe it's time to figure out which one is the best. Maybe each place has its own specialty bagel. Be adventurous and try it out. why we love National Bagel Day, you ask? There are countless varieties. Have you ever walked into a bagel shop and noticed all the different flavors available? From bagels weaved with cinnamon raisin swirl to the classic everything bagel, there is always a variety to satisfy your sweet or savory cravings. Bagels are versatile. Many of us have had bagels for breakfast, but how about as a deli sandwich or maybe a pizza bagel? The chewy and dense texture make bagels a perfect vehicle for toppings, spreads, anything else delicious you can think of. They are convenient. You can find bagels at grocery stores, coffee shops, and even gas stations. You can eat them toasted or just plain. Either way, they are still a delicious and easy choice when you are on the go. Okay, so next year, 2024, Monday, January 15th. 2025, Wednesday, January 15th. 2026, January 15th, Thursday. 2027, Friday, January 15th. 2028, January 15th, Saturday. Alright. Alright, going on to the next topic. Let's see. Alright, so green slime. Yeah, green slime. Let's get to it right here. Hold on. All right, so this is from the New York Post. A mysterious green slime has been spotted oozing from Gotham's grates. Sorry about that. Yeah, Gotham's grates and manholes, causing some New Yorkers to wonder if a superhero comic had suddenly come to life. An ex-user from Manhattan first sent the phenomenon viral on Thursday, posting a photo and video of the bright-hued liquid below the sidewalk. So there's literal green sludge bubbling up from the ground next to World Trade Center right now. Bystander Dan Pantello wrote, along with a pic of the garish anomaly that has over 14 million views since being posted yesterday. The accidental citizens journalist posted a clip of the stuff of sci-fi nightmares along with the caption, "Can anybody explain this, or are we just living in full-blown Gotham right now?" Besides offering plenty of Batman references, witty social media also recalled the green goo from 1990s phenomenon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Am I late with the reference? Someone else chimed in along with a gif of Dr. Ray's stance from Ghostbusters. Love this comic, another said, along with an edited photo of the original with an added Ninja Turtle. It's probably part of the district heating system. They literally add antifreeze to these systems. Maybe the green stuff to make it easier to see. Does it smell? One said, attempting to get to the bottom of the mystery. Moderators on X attach a reader's added context box in attempt to shed light on the origin of the slime. Plumbers frequently use harmless fluorescent green dye to detect leaks in plumbing and sewage systems, it read. A Wikipedia link to a page about dye tracing was also included. This isn't the first time New Yorkers have had to step over the strange unidentified puddles. A Gothamist article from 2017 reported on a similar event, issuing a warning that if the liquid were actually antifreeze, contact could prove fatal to both humans and animals. And just last month, green slime oozed into the entrance of the 7th Avenue subway station in Prospect Heights in Brooklyn. Dye tracing, antifreeze, and supernatural phenomena were all blamed, although the MTA flatly denied the latter. Unfortunately, there were no reports of anyone gaining superpowers and or any teenagers becoming sword-wielding turtles. I haven't heard any news of any particle accelerator explosions or lightning storms, a spokesperson from the MTA told the Post at the time. The slime made yet another documented appearance on the streets of NYC in 2014. I like to think of antifreeze spill as liquid kryptonite. Hashtag New York City, hashtag New York Living. Valerie T. Bart captioned a photo on X with another picture of the slime. The Post reached out to the Department of Sanitation for comment, where a spokesperson deferred to the city's Department of Environmental Protection, which deferred to Con Edison. Okay. So Sheryl Crow, right, recently did an interview. I forget which one, but according to TMZ, Sheryl Crow is not a fan of the new the Beatles AI restored song, and she ain't digging all the use of AI in showbiz generally either, saying there's no soul in computer music. The country singer was chopping it up with Jimmy Fallon Thursday on The Tonight Show when she made her feelings on artificial intelligence clear. Long story short, she isn't feeling it and actually finds the use of the tech in songwriting recording quite daunting. check it out. Sheryl says AI has gotten so good at recreating an artist's voice and style that it's disturbing, and she apparently channeled these feelings in a new track, Evolution. During this rant on AI, she gives SC references the new Beatles ditty Now and Then, which just dropped yesterday, but she doesn't really elaborate other than to point out it was created with the help of AI. One thing she doesn't seem to acknowledge, though, is that AI was only used to enhance John Lennon's vocals, as opposed to completely making new fake ones from scratch. Anyway, another example, back in her fields, a young songwriter paying $5 to put John Mayer's vocals on her new track to pitch to male singers in Nashville. Oh boy. Really? Nashville. I wouldn't be feeling the AI shit anyway, which is artificial intelligence. Okay, where were we? Yeah, Cheryl said she couldn't tell the difference at all when it was played to her. As we all know, AI, which is artificial intelligence, has been the subject of much debate over the past several months, especially as it pertains to music. The Beatles are the latest group to get involved, but some other artists have been roped into the convo against their will, aka Drake. It seems like some artists are more open to AI than others, and Cheryl's part of the latter. All right, so let's get into. Hold on. Sorry about that. All right, Chris Brown. It's Chris Brown's time again on Billboard's top R&B albums chart as his new project 1111 debuts at number one on the list dated November 25th. The set released on November 10th through CBE and RCA Records starts with 45,000 equivalent album units earned in the US in the week ending November 16th, according to Luminate. The new champ also achieves a feat that had seemed nearly impossible in the last year, unseating his RCA label mate SZA's SOS blockbuster from the number one spot to top R&B albums. Since SOS docked at number one on the chart dated December 24th, 2022, the album had ranked at number one every week since a total of 48 frames. Streaming contributes most of 1111's first week activity, 38,000 units of the album's 45,000 total are from streaming clicks, equaling 51 million official on-demand audio and video streams of the album's songs. Traditional album units provide 6,000 units from the remaining sum, with the last 1,000 units from track equivalent album units. One unit equals the following levels of consumption: one album sale, 10 individual tracks sold from an album, or 3,750 ad supported, or 1,250 paid subscription on demand, official audio and video streams for a song on the album. In all, 11/11 gives Brown his fifth number one on the top R&B albums chart, which began in 2012. Elsewhere, 11/11 clocks a number two entrance on top R&B hip hop albums and number nine on the all genre Billboard 200. On both charts, the launch secures Brown's 12th top 10 album, the entirety of his output, sans his collaborative mixtape with Young Thug, Slime, and B, which peaked at number 15 on the former and number 24 on the latter list. 11/11 arrives, eight of its songs appear the Hot R&B Songs chart, including six debuts. The previous release singles, Sensational, jumps 21-7 in its third week on the list, while Summer Too Hot re-enters at number 23 after having achieved a number six peak in August. Here's a look at the 11/11 placements on this week's list. Oh, sorry about that. Where were we? Yes. As 11/11 arrives, eight of its songs appeared the Hot R&B song chart, including six debuts. The previously release single Sensational jumps 21-7 in its third week on the list, while Summer Too Hot re-enters at number 23 after having achieved a number six peak in August. Take a look. Here's a look at the 11/11 placements on this week's list. Number seven, Sensational featuring DeVito and LaJoy. Number eight, Angel Numbers / 10 Toes. Number nine, That's On You featuring Future. Number 11, No One Else featuring Friday. Number 12, Press Me. Number 17, Feel Something. Number 22, Nightmares featuring Bryson Mesia. Brown also lands a ninth concurrent hit on this week's chart. His collaboration with Sierra, How We Roll, slides 8 to 15, in part due to 11/11 debuts in the 14th chart week. Tracks, that's a lot though to listen, but congratulations to Chris Brown. Okay, let's go to the Beat Miners. Long Time Boot Camp, hip hop. This is from hiphopnow.com. Long Time Boot Camp, clip production duo, the beat makers, no, the beat miners, excuse me, have laced everyone from Sean Price to Eminem to De La Soul to Nas throughout their decades-long career. Now, the pair will release their first full-length compilation in close to two decades, stifled creativity. They have also shared the first focus track on Secco with KRS-One. We have had the privilege to work with the great KRS-One for over 20 years now, and this is the song we always wanted to make with him. Mr. Walt says, it is an honor and a pleasure. That's pretty good, man. Yeah, that's pretty good, though, man. You know what I mean? Let me see. All right, hang on a second here. Okay, now let's get into Munchies and Drinks. Let's get into Ray's Candy Store. Okay. So this is from AMNY, the website. Like many of New York City's small businesses, Ray's Candy Store in the East Village took a financial hit during the COVID-19 slamdemic. Inflation and soaring utility costs added to the financial peril. In 2022, a friend of 90-year-old owner Ray Alvarez set up an online fundraiser to help keep the business afloat. In 1 week, supporters of the iconic sweets shop raised over $45,000, and donations are still rolling in. So far, the GoFundMe page has raised $67,524. Wow. Okay, let's get into okay, so thanks to the generous donations, Alvarez can keep Ray's open, and as a token of appreciation to his donors and loyal customers base, the East Village fixture invited New Yorkers to celebrate his path to financial freedom with free deep fried Oreos and a photo op on Sunday, December 3rd. Ray's Candy Store is located at 113th Avenue A in the East Village institution, and has been serving Belgian fries, deep fried Oreos and Twinkies, egg creams and more since 1974. Nearly 50 years later, Alvarez still serves coffee at the only $1.25. He refuses to raise the price. Entering the store, customers step into a time capsule, providing a glimpse at what New York used to be before corporate chains took over. If the store's walls could talk, they would tell a story of celebrities like Madonna and the late great Anthony Bourdain. The downtrodden corporate types, cops and firefighters, all ordering from the worn blue counter. Alvarez, who still works 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, is the heart and soul of the store and the poster child of the American dream. Born in Iran as Asghar Alvarez, literally jumped ship from the Iranian Navy in 1963 to find freedom and a better life in the United States. After working a number of jobs, Alvarez has saved up enough money to buy his candy store across the Tompkins Square Park. Alvarez said the GoFundMe campaign saved his life. The neighborhood favorite, who still burns the midnight oil, recently bought a new ice cream machine to keep fan favorite flavors churning. But without savings, he had no money to pay the store rent, which is $6,400 a month, or his utility bills. Oh boy. Oh boy. Alvarez said he uses his Social Security to pay $500 for his apartment above the store. My business is good in the summer and very bad in the winter. Alvarez said, GoFundMe, they are very special people. In my book, they are the best because they said, Ray, don't worry. We take care of it. GoFundMe community engagement team stopped by the store Sunday to recognize Ray's as part of a series of events meant to highlight local businesses supported by a successful campaign on the crowdfunding site. Kelsey Little, GoFundMe's head of brand storytelling, said they couldn't believe the turnout for Ray's candy store. There are 2,400 people who donated, and I think that just speaks to how beloved he is by the community, Little said. So that's really what stood out to me. It's like a big warm hug for Ray. The donations range from $5 to $2,000. Those $5 donations are sometimes what mean the most to people because they feel like they are not doing that much. But it really means a lot to the person receiving it, Little said. East Village resident Wendy Goldberg stops by Ray's once or twice a month with her 12-year-old son. I want my son to know why New York is such a great city. It's because of places like this, Goldberg said. Kay Kirshner and Mark Schlecker said they love Ray's story. We love supporting businesses. We love supporting businesses in the neighborhood that's been here a long time and has an old-fashioned feel to it, Schlecker said. Kirshner, born and raised in New York City, added that with so many small businesses closing, it is fantastic to see a historic and true New York business still standing. I wish there were more businesses like this, Kirshner said. Adding, she was glad to hear how successful the GoFundMe campaign was. It shows that other people support Ray's business, that they also really care about Ray and his story and want to support the business. Tanisha Mitchell came from Flushing, Queens on Sunday with her kids, Kaylee and Isaiah. Mitchell said she heard about Ray's candy store on Instagram. I always wanted to come try the fried Oreos, Mitchell said. So this was such a perfect opportunity. Mitchell said she thought the fundraiser was great. I grew up around New York where there was a whole bunch of mom and pop, you know, individual entrepreneurs. Mitchell said to see him still growing strong is really good. I mean, he's basically a part of New York history. All right. Okay. All right, so let me see. Now, I already talked about old school versus new school in one of the episodes already, so I'm not going to do it again. Let's get into... All right, we're going to wrap this up, man. Okay, hold on a second, man. All right, we're going to wrap this up right here. Okay, so, all right. Okay, time for stream choices on the go. Yes, make sure you follow Off the Meat Rack Chains New York Avenue podcast on not only on Facebook, but also on Threads, along with Instagram. And alongside with my other two podcast shows that I do, which is Excellent Fun Vibrant Talks podcast, the Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast, and myself, G Money Stacks 555 in Queens, New York. Be sure to turn on your notifications so you can be notified on when I'll be on Instagram Live recording podcast episodes. So if you go to hold on a second. If you go to my Linktree. If you go to my Linktree, right, you're going to see a whole list of artist streaming platforms. And it'll be for you to do some catching up on the episodes, starting with Odyssey, Audible, Audio Burst, Amazon Music, Breaker, Bullhorn FM, Castbox FM, Deezer, Listen Notes, Moon FM Podcast, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podbay, Podfriend, Podhound, Podopolo, Podorama, Podcast Index, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Podverse, Podcast Guru, Podvine, Snit, Spotify for Podcasters, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcast, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, the number one app where you can listen to music, radio, and podcasts for free. You don't need a credit card or debit card to download iHeartRadio. All you got to do is make sure you follow on iHeartRadio and every other streaming platform that I just mentioned. And and of course, follow my other podcast shows that I just mentioned, which is also on iHeartRadio and everywhere else where you get your podcasts. And do the same with YouTube. Make sure you go grab the subscribe button for me on the YouTube channel page, alongside with alerts, so you can be notified on when each episode is going to So you can be notified on when the podcast recording is going to be starting. Of course, stay tuned for more of your content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes. Leave a like and a comment along with the episodes. And yeah. Grab alerts while you're at it. And of course, be sure to share the episodes, share the videos, and also be sure to listen, stream, and watch these episodes in case you miss any of them whatsoever. And of course, be sure to download the episodes, download the podcast, but you can also add it to your playlist on Spotify and other streaming platforms wherever you get your podcast. All right. So, tell a friend to another friend, spread the word. Word of mouth is important. And also be sure to you know, spread the word. Word of mouth is important. Word of mouth is important. And you can also share my Linktree link. It says Linktree/GMoneyStacks555 with all other streaming platforms, with your husbands, your wives, your boyfriends, girlfriends, the people you're cool with from work, and everywhere else in between. Now, let me let me do this. Let me do this, though. If you like to support the podcast and other podcast shows that I do, you can go to either my Cash App, which is $GMoneyStacks555, or you can go to my PayPal, which is GMoneyStacks Queens, New York. It doesn't matter what amount of money it is. It could be a dollar, it could be $5, $10, whatever amount you choose and desire will be appreciated. And you don't need a lot of money to show moral support. All right. Okay, if you'd like to communicate with me on anything, whether it's from today's episode or any previous episodes whatsoever, my Discord is GMoneyStacks555. You can talk about what's going on in sports as far as like the Mets off season. It could be about music as far as hip hop and of course movies and TV shows, sports, anything you want to talk about, that's what my Discord is for. All right, so there you have. Yeah, so there you have it. Okay. So yeah, that's gonna do it for me, man. I'm your man, G Money Stacks, aka the Gregonator. Thank you very much for listening and tuning in and rocking with me on episode 315 titled Bagels, which is dedicated to National Bagel Day. And of course, remember, the grind doesn't stop. Hard work pays off. If you want something, you have to work hard and earn it, because it's not going to be given to you on a fucking silver platter. Okay. You want to make sure that you look for something, find your niche, your skill, and everything else in between. And also, New York was built in a day. If you like, you can actually make sure you do something that makes you happy creatively, mentally, physically, and spiritually, alongside with being on your P's and Q's, that gets you into your zone alongside with tunnel vision. All right. So that's going to do it, man. I'm up out of here. Thank you very much. I love y'all. I hope y'all did your Christmas shopping already. And, you know, be safe out there, checking on one another as far as mental health and other things as well. All right. So I'm out of here. Peace and one love. And, you know, enjoy the rest of your night. Yo, what's up, everyone at home? You want to hear more from me? I need your help on a couple of things. Go follow Off the Meat Rat Chains New York Avenue podcast on Facebook, Threads, and Instagram. Tap on the notifications so you can know when I will be on Instagram live recording podcast episodes. Plus, you can do the same with YouTube on my channel, GMoneyStacks555. Grab the subscribe button for more live video episodes. Click on the notification bell and alerts as reminders of the date, day, and time when each episode recording will be on the air via live stream. You can also share your thoughts on the topics of each episode in the comments section. If you miss any new or previous episodes, don't worry. You can catch up in my linktree.com/GMoneyStacks555 with the links to listen, stream, and watch on every streaming platform, including Spotify for Podcasters, formerly known as Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Also, you can download and add the podcast to your playlist of your favorite episodes. I'm your man, G Money Stacks, aka The Gregonator. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, streaming, rocking with me, and watching me on the podcast. One love. Peace out.